What I thought we would do now, since we've finished the book of Esther, is that we would cover the book of Acts. I found an overview of the book of Acts that was about 2 pages, so I thought I would read that first as just an introduction and overview. And this person wrote, "In the first verse of the book of Acts, the author mentions the fact that he has already written an earlier report concerning all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until that day in which he was taken up. The Gospel of Luke, as well as the book of Acts, is addressed to a certain Theophilus in Luke 1 verse 3 and in verse 1 here in Acts. Therefore, one would conclude that the book of Acts also originates from the pen of Luke. Various scholars have also pointed out that the style and the choice of words in Luke and Acts are very similar. In the book of Acts itself, we find 2 important hints which are important to ascertain the time of writing. First of all, Luke mentions the fact that Acts is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke, written around 55 to 60 AD, and therefore must have been written later. Secondly, at the end of Acts, Luke mentions Paul's 2-year imprisonment in Rome. The book will therefore have been written only after the end of this time, and it is generally assumed that Paul came to Rome around 60 AD. Therefore, the earliest that the book of Acts could have been written would have been around 63 AD. It could not have been written much later, as Luke would then have mentioned the result of Paul's case in Rome. He would have mentioned the fire in Rome, and he would have mentioned the first great persecution of Christians, which happened in 64 AD. So this man thought that probably 63 AD would be a good guess of when the book of Acts was written. As already mentioned, the book of Acts is the second part of a work by which the author wants to give an important person an overview over the beginning of Christianity, the life and death of the Redeemer, and the beginning of the spreading of the gospel. The book of Acts also describes the work of 2 apostles, Peter and Paul. Peter is the main human character in the first 12 chapters. Paul in the second part from chapter 13. So Paul's the major character in the second part after 13. The geographical center of the first part is Jerusalem and Antioch in the second part, where the disciples were first named Christians. Luke does not mention his own name at all, although he accompanied Paul on more than one journey, which can be concluded from the "we" paragraphs. On the first missionary journey to Asia Minor around 48 AD, Paul was accompanied by Barnabas. On the second missionary journey to Asia Minor in Greece around 52 AD, Paul was accompanied by Silas. Later, Paul joined them, and in Troas, Luke joined them for the first time on Paul's second missionary journey. This was the point that Luke changes the narrative from "they" to "we." Then Luke stayed at Philippi, changing the narrative back to "they." When Paul came again to Philippi on his third missionary journey around 55 AD, Luke was still there because now we have another "we" paragraph. Now Luke accompanies the apostle again to Jerusalem. Finally, he belonged to those who sailed with Paul from Caesarea to Rome. The book of Acts is the link between the gospel accounts and the epistles. Its subject and intention are nicely summarized by the words of the Lord in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Okay, so we'll now start with the book of Acts. And as he mentioned in this summary, they are in Jerusalem here in the first, for the first eight chapters. They are in the Jerusalem. Now, once Jesus was, he was crucified, of course, in Jerusalem. But as soon as he resurrected, Jesus told Mary Magdalene to go and tell the apostles to meet me in Galilee. So then that's exactly what they did. They ended up traveling, I'm assuming a few days later or something, from Jerusalem north, some 60 or so miles, 60, 70 miles, back to Galilee. And they went back to the Sea of Galilee and started fishing again. And so, but they traveled back there, and now Jesus went in and out. He was associating with them at various times over this 40-day period, and Kaufman mentioned that it was more than 10 times, so he didn't give an exact number, and I never did. I never have heard anyone count them all up, but anyway, maybe 11 or 12 times of the account that of Jesus going in and out among them during this 40 days, which we get that from this Acts account, that Jesus went in and out among them for the 40 days. And then there is 10 days, Jesus leaves them, and there's 10 days still that he tells them, don't depart from Jerusalem. So some point during this 40 days, they go back to Jerusalem. And so then, during that 10-day period, they're staying and waiting in Jerusalem. What Jesus said, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And then, as he had said, that was recorded in John 14, that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. And so, that of course comes, the Holy Spirit comes and falls on the apostles in Acts chapter 2. But Jesus tells them to stay in Jerusalem. So they'd already made their way back here at the beginning of this Acts 1. And so he tells them, don't depart from Jerusalem, because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you not many days from now. Okay, so we'll start with Acts 1 verse 1. The former account I, which is Luke, made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. And now this former account, of course, is what we know as the book of Luke or the Gospel of Luke. And so this is the second account. This is the last part in the concluding writing that he did to this man named Theophilus, and we don't know anything about him, except obviously that he was a righteous man and a faithful Christian. And so Luke wrote to him the account of Luke so that there could be an orderly account that would chronicle exactly how things went went down. And then from the introduction of the book of Luke, even that there he got eyewitness accounts. So he obviously went and interviewed people. And Kaufman felt confident that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was still alive in this 50 to 60 AD time period, and that Luke actually interviewed Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that's how he got the first-hand account to write Luke 1 and 2, and of the account of Jesus when he was born, and then in his early life, whenever they ran off and left him and had to go back and find him. So, but we don't know anything else about this Theophilus, except this Luke thought a lot about him, and wrote these two books, what we call now the Book of Luke or the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, to this man. And then, you know, through the providential protection of God, it was preserved and recopied. And so it has become part of the New Testament. So, of all the things that Jesus did and taught until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. In verse 3, to whom Jesus also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, which is also unmistakable. So, they're undeniable proofs being seen in him, seen by them, by the apostles, during the 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So this is the mention that Jesus went in and out. He would be with them and leave and come back over this 40-day period. And so he wasn't with them only for the last 10 days of this 50 days from Pentecost until Pentecost, which that's what Penta meaning 50. That's how that name has come about for Pentecost. So out of the 50-day period, Jesus was with them in and out, teaching them for 40 days and telling them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But here, even on this last day, what it seems like, it's right before Jesus ascends to heaven, they still don't understand what God's kingdom is. They still think it's going to be a physical, earthly kingdom, and namely, a military kingdom, and for the purpose of, at that time, kicking the Romans out. But Jesus does not, here we're going to see their confusion here in a little bit, and Jesus does not try to correct their misunderstanding. I'm going to assume, and even from the passages of the other accounts of the gospel, that he had told them time and time again that his kingdom was not of this world. It's a heavenly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. But they never get this grasp, which what Kaufman mentioned is that they were poisoned, so to speak, by the false teaching of the Pharisees that God was going to establish an earthly military kingdom for them that they would have forever and ever, and it never was going to be that. It was only going to be a spiritual kingdom, and not include only them. It was going to be for all of mankind. But anyway, so verse 4, and being assembled together with the apostles, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you, talking to the apostles, so you apostles shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so it was the 10 days from then, on the day of Pentecost, is when the Holy Spirit fell on them, and it's recorded in Acts 2, at the first part of Acts 2. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, the apostles, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So this is where their fundamental misunderstanding is coming to light here, that they are wondering, okay, so whenever you send the Holy Spirit, is that when you're going to restore this kingdom to Israel? And then we'll be able to fight this Roman Empire off of us, and then we'll be a standalone empire instead of being occupied by the Romans. That's what they were wanting. And so then the reply Jesus gives them is verse 7. So Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So, the way he answers them is kind of very similarly to when they were asking him when Jesus said that the temple would be destroyed. He answers them very similarly. That is not for you to know. In fact, he even said when then they ask him also, when was the end of the earth going to come? And he said that he did not even know when that was going to be. But he told them that the temple would be destroyed in that generation. But here he tells them it's not for them to know when God has decided to do whatever things that he's going to do. But all they needed to concentrate on was that Jesus was going to send the Holy Spirit and they would receive power, and then they would be witnesses telling about Jesus and his crucifixion, dying on the cross for mankind's sins. And it would start at Jerusalem. Then they would go to Samaria, which is chronicled in chapter 8. And then they would go to the end of the earth. Now, as far as going to the end of the earth, that is, we do not hear for the rest of the New Testament of hardly any of the other apostles, even right here in Acts. It was just at the beginning, but after the disbursement, we don't hear hardly anything about the other apostles. Mainly, it's just Peter, and then, of course, James is killed in, it seems like maybe a chapter 11, or no, I think it's 12. And so James, the brother of John, is killed and by Herod. And then Paul becomes an apostle born out of due season. And then we don't hear anything about any of the others. In fact, here Matthias is going to be appointed as an apostle at the end of this chapter 1. And his name is never mentioned again in the entire Bible. But I think I'll call it a necessary inference. It's necessary for us to infer the reason why we're not hearing about them is because they are teaching everyone to the ends of the earth. They're going to every country, wherever humans are. They are busy for the rest of their lives teaching people. And then namely, Peter and Paul are the ones that are evangelizing in Judea and then in what they call Asia Minor area, which the Apostle Paul doing that. Are there any questions or comments on anything up to this point?